Radio Prague News.
Representatives from the right-of-center Civic Democrats have filed a criminal complaint against the Prime Minister and others in connection with the sale of Czech gas concern Unipetrol. The Czech Republic will ask international organizations to put pressure on the Seychelles in connection with the Radovan Krejčíř case. And Czech tennis sensation Nicole Vaitišová has won her third tournament in Asia. The chairman of the right-of-center Civic Democrats deputy group, Vlastimil Tlustý, has revealed that he and several other members of his party have filed a criminal complaint against Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek and two members of the cabinet, as well as a former aide, in connection with the privatization of the Czech oil concern Unipetrol. According to the MPs, the Prime Minister played a role in the privatization at a time when he was still at City Hall. The Prime Minister has dismissed the move as desperate. Last year, the Polish PKN Orlen bought 63% shares in the Czech oil giant, a deal which has since been dogged by allegations of corruption. On Friday, Polish prosecutors investigating the purchase asked for permission to question over a dozen individuals in the Czech Republic, including former Prime Minister Stanislav Gross. The new management of PKN Orlen has also said it has uncovered new evidence of secret payoffs to Czech politicians. The Czech Foreign Minister Cyril Svoboda has said that the Czech Republic will ask international organizations like the OECD to put pressure on the Seychelles in connection with the case of fugitive businessman Radovan Krejčíř. Earlier this year, the Czech-born Krejčíř escaped to the Seychelles after facing charges of fraud and conspiracy to murder in the Czech Republic. Speaking on Czech TV on Sunday, the foreign minister said he would push for the Seychelles being blacklisted by organizations like the OECD. Earlier, the Seychelles stated Mr. Krejčíř would not face extradition, having obtained Seychelles citizenship. The foreign minister suggested an unfavorable listing of the country by the OECD would be a warning for investors, theoretically pressuring the Seychelles to reevaluate Mr. Krejčíř's case. 16-year-old tennis sensation Nicole Vaitišová has won her third tournament in Asia in just 2 weeks, winning in Bangkok after taking titles in Tokyo and Seoul. On Saturday, Ms. Vaitišová dispatched Russian opponent Nadezhda Petrovova 6-1, 6-7, 7-5. Vaitišová has now won her last 15 games. I'm Jan Vellinger. That's the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague. I'm Rob Cameron. Coming up today, the popular Deputy Prime Minister Martin Jahn announces he's leaving politics. We'll be hearing why. The unique dialect of the Ostrava region wins legions of fans, and not just in North Moravia. And we'll have all the latest sports news. Don't go away. The Deputy Prime Minister for the Economy, Martin Jahn, is dominating the news here in the Czech Republic after announcing that he is to quit politics by the end of the year. Not a member of any party, he denies he's stepping down because the Social Democrats appear to be cozying up to the communists. But his departure is a blow to the Social Democrats. Mr. Jahn is seen as young, dynamic and relatively liberal, and has been the party's choice to stand in the next general elections in Prague, a bastion of the right-of-centre Civic Democrats. Moments after he announced his decision to step down, Martin Jahn told Dis Asiedu why.
After a very thorough analysis of the situation, I came to a conclusion that the professional career is more acceptable for me than political career. And I would like to work with Social Democrats on the professional basis. For example, I would like to work on the election program of Social Democrats for the next election.
Your name is one of the few names among leading government representatives that has not come up in a number of corruption scandals. Could you leaving not harm the Social Democrats at this crucial time, just a few months before the elections?
Well, I think that there were some names of politicians who came up in connection with corruption scandals, but I'm absolutely sure that they had nothing to do with them, like Deputy Prime Minister Sobotka and many others. Corruption scandals are just part of the political game.
You believe that the public may think otherwise, And it's really public opinion that the Social Democrats now need to influence. Don't you think that if you leave, one of the few who the public actually believed in, that could really, really make it more difficult for the Social Democrats to win the elections, or at least to get a bigger portion of the votes?
Well, I think that one person cannot change the image of the party. I mean, and I would be running for the party, so with me, people would be voting for the party anyway. I would not be able to change the past of Social Democrats.
Prime Minister Paroubek reiterated again today that there has not been and there will not be any future cooperation with the Communist Party on a government level. But the Social Democrats have been able to push through a few legislations in Parliament thanks to the tacit support of the Communists. And there have been reports that one of the reasons why you're leaving is precisely because of that.
Communists are here and we cannot erase them. Communists also voted president to the castle. They voted on many other things with ODS together. For me, the quality of the law is more important than who votes for it. I think that my negative position towards the communists is very well known, but I think that Social Democrats have to work in some sort of political reality. So if Social Democrats are pushing through their program, then it's okay, and I'll be looking more at the quality of the law than on who votes for them. And what is important is that Prime Minister Paroubek said there is no direct cooperation in the government after the election, and I believe that.
That was Deputy Prime Minister Martin Jahn speaking earlier today to my colleague Dieter Asiedu. Now, listen carefully to this.
V pondělí cestu na šichtu jsem dumala, jak neusnuť ve stoji a nechrapnuť se hlavu do tého madla, bo lokálka byla narvana, jak košík jablek. V tým polospánku jsem uvažovala, co kdybych si kupila novou televizu.
Now, if you had trouble understanding that, you're not alone. It was Czech, but spoken in the unique dialect of the Ostrava region of North Moravia. It's taken from a website which has become something of a cultural phenomenon in the last 12 months, a regular blog written in the dialect by someone known only as Ostravák. It's been so successful, two editions have already been published in book form, a third was released last week. So what makes the Ostrava dialect so special, and how widely is it spoken? That's a question I put earlier to Jan Kamradek, a bona fide Ostrava speaker who now lives in Prague.
Some people use it, yeah, this language. And of course, everybody who is from this region understand this language.
Do you use this slang?
Oh, maybe when I'm in pub with my friends in Ostrava, of course, I use it. Or with my grandpa or grandma, we use it. But normally when I'm in work or when I'm here in Prague, of course, I don't use it.
There's going to be a third diary by this Ostravák. People are buying it, not just people from Ostrava, but from people all across the country.
Mm-hmm.
What explains that? Why are people so fascinated by Ostrava slang?
I think it's a color of this region. On one side we can see mines and heavy industry, and on other side we can see very, very big cultural life with Stodolny Street or Jarek Nohavica or very famous Ostrava theater. So there are two wars in this region. One with heavy industry, a lot of mines and a lot of workers and poor people, and on the other side, poetic side of this region.
Can you say something in Ostrava slang for us?
To je region razovitý, ta Ostrava. Takový fajný region razovitý.
And what does that mean?
It means that it's specific region and I like it.
Jan Kamradek there. The readers from across the country, not just Ostrava, are buying the book, and the third installment will most likely reach the top 10. Even the publishers claim they've never even met the mysterious Ostravák, and so the man behind the blog remains a mystery. And if you want to read more, you'll find a link to the site on the Radio Prague website, which is, of course, www.radio.cz. You're listening to Radio Prague. It's time now for all the sports news with Ian Willoughby.
Thanks, Rob. Well, first today it's football and Friday's draw for the World Cup playoffs, which have pitted the Czech Republic against Norway. The tie takes place over two legs in mid-November, with the first game away. Czech manager Karel Brickner says the fact the second match is at home is an advantage. But defender Tomáš Ujfaluši says he's not so sure.
It could be an advantage, it could be a disadvantage, but either way, I'm convinced we won't lose in Norway. We'll get a good result, which will set us up for the second leg. And I think the fans will come and cheer us on, and the atmosphere will be better than against Holland at home.
And the Czech Republic's chances of reaching next year's World Cup in Germany have been given a major boost with the news that former captain Pavel Nedved has made himself available for the two playoff games. Strangely, Nedved claims not to have considered if he would actually play in the World Cup itself. In the Czech league, Sparta Prague got off to a winning start under new manager Stanislav Griga, beating Bilshany 5-2 on Saturday. Griga, a Slovak who was a star player for Sparta, had this to say after the game.
Of course, I'm satisfied with the result and with the fact that we handled the pressure on us before the match. The team attacked well. We got two quick goals and that calmed the boys down. In fact, they were so euphoric that we had some problems in defence.
Sparta will have to try plug those gaps at the back before the visit of English Premiership side Arsenal for a Champions League tie on Tuesday night. And next weekend they have another big test, a trip up the road to face City rival Slavia. Slavia Prague Ice Hockey Club, meanwhile, have been beaten for the first time this season, losing 4-2 to Kladno on Sunday. That result follows a remarkable run which saw them undefeated for 14 games on the trot. Slavia forward Tomáš Vlasák says it couldn't have lasted forever.
Of course we knew it would happen sometime. Things started going wrong when we conceded a goal during our own power play. Basically, Kladno were better in at least two of the three periods. They played more aggressive and faster hockey, and established a lead which they held on to until full time.
Finally, tennis, and what a remarkable spell the Czech women's number one, Nicole Varyšová, is having at the moment. On Sunday, she continued her great run in the final of the Thailand Open, beating top seed Nadia Petrova of Russia 6-1, 6-7, 7-5. That's Varyšová's third title in 3 weeks, after success in the Korea and Japan Opens. The 16-year-old has now climbed to 17 in the world rankings. That's all the sport for today.
The gypsy fiddler is an enduring Romani stereotype, but we often forget there are also many Romani classical musicians, and that in Central Europe the Romani tradition has had a huge influence on the history of classical music. Recently, as part of the Prague Autumn Music Festival, Czech audiences had the chance to hear the Rajko ensemble from Hungary with a concert in the Lucerna Ballroom that celebrated these links. All the orchestra's members are Roma, many are students or graduates from the Rajko School in Budapest, where talented Romani children learn to become professional musicians. The head of the ensemble's advisory board, Beatrix Berendi, spoke to Radio Prague about the Rajko ensemble's past and present.
Beginning in 1952, there were gypsies only in pubs. They were not performing on theaters. It was Gyula Farkas, the first gypsy teacher, who founded the orchestra and found the gypsy children from the forest countryside, so from villages in Hungary and even outside the border, so from Slovakia, from Romania, Ukraine. He went and looked for the best talented children. And he brought them to the orchestra. At the beginning there were 20 or 30 musicians only, but he always wanted to work with a bigger orchestra. So sometimes it was even 60 or 70 children in the group, and they slowly grow up. So not only children, but they became adults. Now we have 32 professional musicians who are paid, who has their work base in the orchestra. And if we need more musicians, we can add the musicians from the school, or we can call those ones who were studying once in the Ryko school and ensemble, and we ask them to play with us. And in this way, we can play together even 100 if we want. In the school, Romanian children can come when they are 8 years old. And when they finish the school, about 18, 19 years old, they are professional already, and they can play in our Ryko Gypsy Orchestra, the professional orchestra, or they can play in any other orchestras, or they can form their own orchestra and go to play wherever they want.
Well, it's time now for Talking Point. This week, Dieter Asiedu looks at how the Arab world appears through the eyes of the Czech media.
Přes 15 milionů Iráčanů hlasovalo v referendu o budoucí ústavě země. Předběžné výsledky.
Czech television's primetime evening news on Iraq's constitution referendum. A pretty straightforward report. But when it comes to coverage of conflict in the Middle East, such as US military operations in Iraqi towns to wipe out remaining Taliban groups, or the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, how objective is mainstream Czech media? Does it just stick to the facts, or does it allow political opinion to slip in? A discussion organized by Prague's Arab Association Arabesk and the Association for International Affairs focused on just that. And it's also the topic of today's talking point. Does the Czech media provide the public with a fair view of Middle Eastern affairs and the Arab world? Jacek from the Faculty of Media Studies at Charles University says it doesn't.
The media institution, organization, they are normal firms which are working on the market. And this you can see in their contents, that the news are in some way biased. Because if you want to have a media, you have to make profit.
Mr. Krzeczek points out that any media in the world has two main powers. A selective power, when it decides what to cover, and a descriptive power, the way the chosen topic is covered. The main driving force in both decision-making processes is money. The more viewers, listeners or readers, the bigger the profit.
How you can make profit by medias? You must make your content interesting, dramatization, popularization. That's all kinds which normally in history used to be only in fictive contents, but now are import in the contents like news or commentaries.
And there's nothing wrong with that, according to Pavel Barsha from Charles University's Political Science Institute, as long as the public has access to a good variety of reports that offer all the different views. Unfortunately, he says, the Czech Republic lacks that.
I think it's okay if you have a weekly which has on certain topics definite positions and bold positions and express them systematically. I don't mind that. I think it's okay. But the problem is that you have only one good political weekly in the Czech Republic. And if that weekly has one guy who is systematically expressing one point of view on, let's say, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, it's problematic because the readers don't get other points of view.
But how exactly has the Czech media been biased? Mrs. Hima Josef is the educational and cultural coordinator at Arabesk.
Even in the discussion I saw that always this connection between Islam, terrorism and Arab. This is what is hurting me as an Arab. And at the same time, I see that it's used. Like this discussion today proved for me that it is existed still, and it will be until we as Arabs to try to explain maybe that we are not agreeing with this. Like media, it's not just like one journal in or one magazine in one day in the month. unfortunately, as I saw that there is like almost 3-4 articles from the same type in journals in one day, and at the same time in the TV, and at the same time there is some another radio programs, which all of them, they create some point of view per one day. It's not like about once a week.
Přetislav Tureček writes for one of the country's main newspapers, Bravo.
Unfortunately, I think when we talk about Muslims, there is not enough sensitivity. There are only few journalists here who have personal experience, who have traveled, who have worked in Muslim world, and therefore sometimes they use words which are very offensive for local Muslims who understand it, who can read. And unfortunately, I would also say that sometimes these Muslims have very little or very limited access to the Czech media, to say their own version of the events.
And there's also the lack of finances.
I would say basically that this is a problem of most of the former communist countries of Eastern Europe, with exception probably of Poland, which has a really big newspaper who cover all the major issues even in the Middle East. However, here in Czech Republic, for example, me as a Middle East deskman, I would say I'm able to go only several times a year to the region, to the Middle East, and this is also the issue for all the other newspapers. Therefore, we most of the time, most of the year, we use only, I would say, second-hand information from the major broadcasters. We publish or we quote articles from Western press, but also from the Arabic press, from the Middle East. However, we are not able usually to get directly to the source of the information.
Reporters say the major reason why they report so little on the Arab world or give mostly the Israeli stance on the Israel-Palestine conflict is simply because Arab countries are less open to providing journalists with information. Bravo reporter Přetislav Tureček.
I would say Arab journalists who are going to Israel, because there are such cases, they see openness of the Israeli IDF. It's possible to call 24 hours a day a spokesman of the Israeli army. It's possible to reach a spokesperson of the prime minister, which is really unusual in most of the Muslim countries of Middle East, where there are so many restrictions for just or generally for foreigners. Therefore, Israel knows much better to use the foreign press for its purpose, in both the positive and negative way, as we say.
Unfortunately, there was many Arabs in the place, but they did not speak. They did not tell their opinions. And this is what I was also looking forward to hear.
Says Hima Youssef from Arabesque. The Czech Republic has a tradition of good relations with the Arab world. The Muslims that ordinary Czechs know personally are mainly those who came to the country predominantly in the 1950s and 1960s to study. But the mainstream media's picture of the Arab world, as described by Mrs. Youssef earlier, has darkened. And Pavel Barsha from Charles University's Political Science Institute says there is a simple reason for that.
The point is that the official communist government in communist Czechoslovakia, since 1967, was openly pro-Arab in the Middle Eastern affairs in general, but of course particularly in the Israeli Arab issue. That's why many liberally minded people like me, for instance, of my generation, were taking automatically an opposite view, because we were anti-communist. So we thought if the communists are with Arabs against Israelis, we should be with Israelis against Arab. And we were on the side of the United States of America because this big country brought us, helped us actually to found the first Czechoslovakian Republic in 1918, or at least it's believed that Woodrow Wilson was one of those who helped the first President Masaryk in building this this country. So we have completely opposite point of view on America to the view you will find in Central America or in the Middle East. where they take America rather as we used to take Soviet Union.
Talking Point brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. If you've got any comments or queries, don't hesitate to contact us. Write us a letter. The address is Radio Prague, 12099 Prague 2, the Czech Republic, or why not send us an email, english@radio.cz. And don't forget our website. Once again, the address is www.radio.cz. I'm Rob Cameron. I hope you've enjoyed the program and do tune in again soon.